Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in, everyone, to this episode of Bare Bones. Week one is upon us. We are done with the hype. We're done with Hard Knocks. We're done with the guessing. We get to see real football played this Sunday at Soldier Field. Danny, how you doing?
I'm good. Things are obviously exciting. We open up the NFL season for real tonight, and it's not just pretend games with reps to get the callusing up, as we talked about the last time I was on the show. And the only thing I figured out is apparently my body doesn't like purple tattoo ink. So, you know.
Did it bleed it out?
No, it got really gnarly scabbing on the top. So, I keep moisturizing it, keep washing it because, you know, it's an open wound or whatever. But, like, I've got a huge one about the size of a piece of computer paper on my back. And I never had anything like that. So, I was like, this shouldn't be bad. And here I am, like, 2 weeks post tattoo, and it's just like now starting to peel because all the scabs are finally coming off.
Well, at least it's finally moving ahead for you.
Yeah, not what I was expecting, but you know, got it for my kid.
You do what you gotta do for those you care about. The only thing that I care about is this preview, because I'm excited about this Bears season. I'm excited every season, and then, you know, usually the Bears dash my hopes, but this one hopefully is maybe different. You're going to notice that the orientation of our show is a little different this year if you followed us before.
Yep.
Primarily because there's also going to be a post-game show that I am also now doing. So there won't be as much of a review on Thursdays, and especially obviously this one, there's nothing really to review because it's week one. But, you know, chart review section, this is going to be just still some storylines from the week, something that caught our eye, things like that. I have a couple things written here. One being Bears special team coach Richard Hightower made it very clear that week one return specialists are going to be Bayless Jones on kick returns, DeAndre Carter on punt returns. Not necessarily surprising for anyone.
No, it's about what you would expect. Especially when you keep Bayless Jones, like aside from being probably the fourth running back at this point, like he kind of needs to have a purpose, which would be kick return. So I don't think there's any surprises, no, except for, you know, our good friend Dante Pettis is finally gone.
Yeah, right. The injury settlement off of IR. I, for one, I know you were not, I don't say a big Pettis fan, but a Pettis supporter at times.
So it's like anything else. When you're a draft nut and you fall in love with these kids coming out, when he came out of Washington years ago at this point, he was like just such a fun player. I think he was an All-American returner on top of like a 1,000-yard receiver in back-to-back years. It's like this guy had so much cool utility. And, of course, the Niners got him like early on under Shanahan.
Yeah.
And it was like, because why wouldn't they? And he obviously never panned out. I know his career kind of took a weird turn after an injury, and then like he finally got healthy with the Giants, and then he got like a real bad case of COVID, and it's like he never fully got back from whatever version of COVID he had.
Yeah, it's you saw this a couple times, especially at the beginning and in the early stages of COVID. Might as well talk about this since we are having a bit of that health and medical flair. It was a big deal. And especially these elite athletes where a 1% difference in, you know, the amount of oxygen that you have, your VO2 max makes all the difference in the world. Especially, mm-hmm. you know, depending on the sport you're playing, you know, for schlubs like myself, who basically just pretend to be an athlete still on the weekends, you may not notice it quite as much, you know, again, that little change makes a big difference. So, in those early stages, it did not surprise me that some of these players, Pettis is an example of this, may not have come back to full form.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's exactly what happened or anything. It's just something I noticed that when he finally seemed to be turning the corner and, like, seemingly getting his groove back with the Giants, he went out with COVID for an extended stretch, and he just wasn't the same after that. So I'm sure it's injury-related. I'm sure – and just age. I mean, he's got to be pushing 30 now at this point. And, like, age catches everyone except for apparently, like, Calais Campbell.
There's Calais Campbell, Derrick Henry. You know, there's just certain individuals that time doesn't apparently
matter. Yeah, I mean, Mercedes Lewis is like in year 20 or 21 as a tight end.
Exactly. The only other thing I had was that Titans' Jeffrey Simmons went on to say that he's going to knock the nail polish, off of Bears QB Caleb Williams. I just thought it was like, why even say that?
Yeah, he said that on a podcast, right? Yeah, I mean, I think I remember that because that started circulating a few. God, it's got to be almost a month ago now, right? Like when he.
Yeah, it's just peaking up again since the games.
Around the corner. I think it would be funny. Like I saw, I forget who posted it on Twitter, but he should put like Caleb should put a little vial of nail polish in his sock, so when he throws his first touchdown, if Jeffrey Simmons is in his face, he can toss the nail polish at him, kind of thing. Like that'd be kind of fun. Like. I don't know. I think it's a throwaway comment, and you know how these athletes are. It's bulletin board material to kind of hype themselves up.
Yeah,
like exactly. And that's kind of what it is. Not that Jeffrey Simmons needed. You're talking about one of the 5 to 7 most disruptive defensive interior players in the league. Like that guy's an animal. He doesn't need much reason to get up in the morning in terms of motivations.
We are going to – so normally we have this a little bit later, but we're doing our training room roundup at this stage a little earlier in the podcast. When it comes to the Bears and their injuries, it's funky, right? Week one's always weird because when you're limited at this stage, a lot of it's coming right off of camp. You're going to have different management. I mean, having Karan Amagaji limited, he's probably not going to be active. Keenan Allen being limited, he might have – Does that really matter? I mean, that seems like a part veteran, part we know your shoes were a little funky over camp kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and he's just – it could also just be a veteran rest.
Right. And just happens to – he also has a little bit of heel something.
Yeah, like, oh, okay. My heel is kind of bugging me. All right, well, you're going to practice you specifically hard anyway, so whatever. And what people need to realize for this, like a lot of this stuff is literally for Vegas. That's what this is for.
Yeah.
Like, so if Keenan Allen existing on the injury report in that capacity moves the line at all, I'd be shocked. But it's just something they have to put out there for the Sharps. That's pretty much it.
One that's really interesting is the fact that Ryan Bates was a full participant today. It just kind of seemed like he'd be a guy that wouldn't necessarily be available maybe early on, but he's ready to go after being.
And it seemed like it was more serious than it actually was, right? Isn't that the inclination? Like, it seemed like it was semi-serious, and then all of a sudden he's back, which is like, oh, okay, whatever.
And then it's interesting because if he hadn't had this pop up, if Nate Davis hadn't had his issues early on with injury and just availability, is there a chance that Ryan Bates would be the starting right guard right now?
I mean, it's highly possible.
Or even center, right? I mean, did Coleman Shelton get his real shot to be center because of all of those things I just mentioned? Or did he truly win the competition?
Yeah, it's a good question. And unfortunately, one we probably won't ever know the answer to.
Exactly. But it wouldn't be surprising to me if at some point Ryan Bates is starting, whether it's due to performance stuff from certain individuals or if it's due to injury because it's the offensive line that happens.
And then I mean, I know we're working our way down the list, but I noticed DeMarcus Walker and Montez Sweat on there, both limited, one with a groin, one with a toe. That's probably limited because those are your two starting ends, right? Like, you do your most important defensive players, don't get them too, you know, riled up in the practice leading up to the game. Like,
Montez Sweat, for sure, I would think that, especially being limited twice in a row. I mean, he was also limited throughout camp. And it was said if this was a game week, he'd go kind of thing. DeMarcus Walker, I'm a little, I don't say worried, but I'm highlighting that more since he, you know, he had no designation at all yesterday, but now today he does.
Yeah, and it's also soft tissue, which toe, I'm always going to, when I start seeing stuff like groin and hamstring and stuff, I don't want to say my alarm bell starts sounding, but I perk up a little more because that's just stuff that you could walk the wrong way and it just flares up and makes you grab at it, you know, like
exactly.
It's obviously weird. Like I said, we're Weekend Warriors. Last summer, I pulled a groin playing pickup basketball and I thought I was right. I was walking down the street and re-aggravated it, you know, like why? Oh, just happened.
Just happened. Wrong angle, wrong amount of force, all that. Soft tissue is weird. Another soft tissue, because we didn't really know what was really going on with Zach Pickens, also with a groin. We saw the Bears make some defensive line moves, one in particular getting another defensive tackle, thought process being that probably Zach Pickens wouldn't be available, or at least that's what we thought was the case. And the fact that he's been limited twice in a row might show that.
Yeah. That and just overall depth of the defensive line in general being a pretty large issue. Yeah.
Mercedes Lewis, veteran tight end, ref stay. This happens every single week, happened all last year. Literally, there's no reason for him to almost practice ever. And then Roshan Johnson, another toe. I don't think this will be a thing. I expect him to suit up on Sunday.
Yeah. I think you and I are on the same page when it comes to Roshan. I so badly want him to succeed and be a part of a committee at the very least, because you hear about the kid and how great a teammate he was coming out of Texas. And I've got a friend who knows some of the boosters in Arlington, and it's like, yeah, they knew Bijan was the man and going to get drafted highly. But when there was no player they wanted to get drafted highly more than Roshan Johnson because of the kind of person he is. I might have shared that on this show before from that friend, but it's always just worth mentioning because I just like the guy. And, you know, it's an investment. It's obviously at the end of the day, we root for the laundry on the field, not necessarily who's in it, as long as our favorite team wins. But it's hard to not get connected to some of these guys in some capacity. And Roshan's just a guy I've connected with through learning about him. So I always hope for the best with him.
Moving on to the Tennessee Titans, their list is not nearly as long. You have Jamal Adams, who until I started looking at this game this week, I forgot was even on this team. He has not participated for this entire week. DeAndre Hopkins, limited with the knee. We knew that over the summer that he had that injury. You know, he's still up in the air. It sounds like he'll play, but might be a bit slower here, which is an issue for him because he's already a bit slow. And then finally, a linebacker I've never heard of, Otis Reese.
You're not familiar with the greatness that is Otis Reese?
I didn't know people still name their kids Otis at this point.
It's fair.
So as things sit, Titans are going into this game pretty healthy. If anything, the Bears are probably just overly cautious with how they had a long summer. They're listing all these people as, hey, your toe's bothering you a little bit. Take some time off. Titans obviously didn't play quite as much. So it's just different how they're, I think, how they're handling it. Just when you see this pop up Friday, I think it'll all be fine for the most part.
Sure.
All right. Now we're going to have a quick break here. A word from our newest sponsor, Kombucha. You can see in the upper right corner of the screen if you are watching live or later on YouTube. You can get 15% off of Kombucha if you use the code BEARGUTCHECK, BEARGUTCHECK. I'm drinking some right now. Real tasty. Mango turmeric. I was feeling a little funky before the show. Drinking this, I'm already feeling a little chippier. So let's take a listen.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. Crisp. Whoa.
That's really good.
That one's really good, too.
That one's good.
That's, like, it's so refreshing. Like, it's so good right to have right before we go play. And it has, like it really quenches your thirst.
And it has the right amount of bitterness where it kind of,
yeah, it's, like, not too sweet, not too bitter. That's what you're saying with the last one.
I like that.
Mango this one is my favorite. This one's the best. This one's the best.
That one. Guys, we're going to have to argue over this. It's that one.
No, this one's so good. This one's good.
I used to drink kombucha.
This one is good.
5 a.m. before practice every day because it woke me up and it made me feel good before practice.
That was the Chicago Lions women's 7-on-7 team, professional rugby team in the Chicagoland area. I mean, if it's good enough for them, it should be good enough for you. Kombucha is a premium performance-based kombucha crafted specifically for athletes and active individuals. This revitalizing beverage blends the traditional benefits of kombucha with nutritional enhancements to support energy, hydration, and recovery. Made from organic teas and infused with natural electrolytes, kombucha offers a delicious and effective solution to maintain peak performance. Better athletic performance, increased nutrient absorption, improved wellness, and improved cognitive stamina. Get some kombucha, 15% off. Go ahead and do it. Plus, you know, it helps us out too. So, and it's a cool guy, local guy. He actually just dropped these off. He was a part of Chicago Lions, yada, yada, yada. So support local. I always love doing that too. Knee-jerk reaction, back to the fun Bears talk. Danny, what is your knee-jerk reaction going into week one against the Titans?
Honestly, as much as I want to be like rah-rah, just huge meathead, my knee-jerk reaction is I don't think this game is going to be the walk in the park that most people think it's going to be. Like,
I wish I could say different, but I tend to agree.
Like, everyone's like, yeah, they're going to come out and throttle them. Like, I'm just looking at it like maybe there's also the chance that the defense and so Tennessee defense is frisky. I don't think it's anything special, but they're going to give you problems and they're going to make the rookie quarterback beat them essentially. Now, obviously Caleb, much like other quarterbacks we've seen in this city, has all the ability to do so, especially more so with his arm than any quarterback we've ever seen. But we know how this is going to go. They're going to make him look like not a rookie, essentially. And we need to see some of those superstar plays out of Caleb that got him drafted number one overall in order for that to be possible. And what I'm really excited to watch, though, is the Bears secondary against this team. Just an older, slower wide receiving core with a slow processing Will Levis, who was, if he was at all pressured, was just yeeting the ball down the field. He's like drunk Jameis out there. It's awesome. Like, so I'm interested to watch that, but I just don't think this game, especially with the left side of the Titans line being what it is offensively, and your left, the side that that's lined up against is Walker and what is it going to be, Billings, right? Because three technique where they line up. Like, I just think that could be a tough matchup with the two young guys over there from Northwestern Alabama, JC Latham and the Northwestern kids, Peter Skronsky, in back-to-back drafts.
Yeah, I have some notes on this that I'll touch on later for one of the other categories. Not necessarily in the negative, but in the I'm not sure what to think of this team kind of thing. And like I said, I'll get to that later. But to what you said in terms of it not being a walk in the park, I mean, this isn't your grandfather's or father's Titans team, right? I mean, the days of the Jeff Fisher, I can get you 9 wins. Can you get me 10 wins? get you nine. Like, that's not there anymore. The Mike Vrabel, it's a bunch of guys, maybe a couple of talented players here and there, you know, the Derrick Henry-esque player or even a Ryan Tannehill, but they're real plucky and they try real hard. That's not them either, right? I mean, if they went out, they got Brian Callahan coming from over from the Bengals. And I mean, that's a solid tree coming from there. He brought his dad over as the offensive line coach, Bill Callahan. He could make Sam Mustipher into a respectable lineman if he needed to. That's how good Bill Callahan is. And I'm curious and excited to see what he does with J.C. Latham, who is just a ball of clay waiting to be molded into an awesome offensive lineman, I think.
Move the way J.C. Latham does.
It doesn't make sense. The physics of it are wild.
That guy is of another fabric of human being.
My knee-jerk reaction, I think Roma Dunze outtarges Keenan Allen. There's a little, again, a little later, I'll touch on something, but I think that there's something special in terms of the connection. The guys behind me in the picture, if you're looking on live here, if you're listening to the podcast, it's just Caleb and Rome chilling. Everything from, you know, the flights, you know, or sorry, the practices they were doing together before the draft, the flight over on the draft night together, what they've been doing, so much of what's important when it comes to quarterback and wide receivers chemistry and trust. And no, there's nothing against Keenan Allen or anything like that, but there's just something about having your bro out there that you want to throw the ball to. And that comfortability, we might have even seen a little bit in the preseason. I'm not trying to read too much into it, but you know, we did see him target Rome a good amount and make those completions as well, as long as Rome can stay in bounds.
And we know what you're saying then, Mason. You're calling your shot. Play action, deep shot to Rome to open the game. That's what we're calling. Mason's calling it, guys. Don't let him live this down when it's just a handoff to DeAndre Swift.
Even though it's 100% going to be a handoff to DeAndre Swift. To be a perfectly honest, so this is something that brutally honest. And if you're new to the show, we're punny. It just is what it is. Deal with it. Sorry.
Dad jokes for days.
Something brutally honest. I'll just dive into this one. I do have some concerns personally about the offensive line and Byard at free safety. Nothing grand, but just kind of week one skittishness where, you know, if everything goes perfectly fine, this all offensive lineman could be of average to above average group, you know, 15th to 10th unit, something like that. But, you know, this is true for most lines, but you're one injury away to being something real funky, right? So if you lose a Tevin Jenkins who has had a injury history, what does that look like with, in theory, Ryan Bates sliding in? If you lose a tackle, is your next man up? You know, is it going to be a Larry Borum, Karan? I don't expect to be ready. So what's that look like? You have a center who has played a lot of solid-ish, and I'm trying to say that kindly, football. But, you know, what does that look like? So that part, I don't love where that's sitting. And then obviously there's the Nate Davis conundrum. And then in terms of Byard, you know, he was traded from the Titans to the Eagles. The Eagles cut him. His ball production's gone down. He's definitely lost a step. We see some highlights from training camp where he is getting interceptions and breaking up pass plays and everything like that. But I have a little concern that if he has lost a step, is he better as a box safety? And ultimately now are you playing with two box safeties in Brisker and Byard?
Yeah, I mean, certainly could be the case. My, to be perfectly honest, it's also going to err on the side of negative, and it's just because it's the one thing leading into the season I can't shake. There's a reason why you go and trade for Darrell from the Seahawks, Darrell Taylor, I believe is his name, and then the defensive tackle whose name I'm drawing a blank on that they acquired, I believe, from the Browns. The defensive line. And I get you can't say sans Montez Sweat, but I just look at that line, and if it's not Montez Sweat, I just don't know who's doing anything. Andrew Billings is a good football player, but he's a nose tackle. Everyone wants to hang their hat on Gervon Dexter, and it's like I can't get there because all his production came in a part-time role. Like, and I know we've had this discussion like in group chats and stuff, and I just can't get to the place where it's like, people are touting that it's a better defensive line now than it was last year when you actively went and lost one of your three best linemen in Justin Jones to the Arizona Cardinals. Like, yeah, you can play projection, but Zach Pickens is hurt. Gervon Dexter was a part-time player when he started getting production. That was only after Sweat came by. So it's like, what are they doing if Montez is out on the field? And what if, God forbid, Montez Sweat gets hurt? And I just can't shake this feeling. And I don't like what I see when I look at the defensive line. And for as great as that secondary is, they can only cover for so long before someone's going to get open if someone's not getting home.
I saw a chart floating around Twitter yesterday. It was really interesting. It had basically showing which teams were allowed the most outside and middle throws, but then also like EPA per play like allowed. Mm-hmm. And the Bears were allowed some of the most middle of the field throws to like at a kind of disgusting rate. But somehow it was also allowing the least EPA in those throws too. So it's like they're letting you have it, but you're not very productive when you do it. So It's a weird combo to have that with an offensive line that you're not sure how much pressure you are going to get. Because, yes, you can definitely get secondary base sacks, right? There's the coverage is good enough.
That cover sacks exist.
You can create that. However, if you are allowing, even if it is not necessarily the most efficacious middle of the field throws, that's still a bailout. And that's still going to be, you know, depending on guys like DeMarcus Walker, if he's outside, Austin Booker in the rotations, he's looked good, but you said projection. We already talked about Garon's projection. Chris Williams, the guy you mentioned who they got in the trade from the Browns, he's like a one gap penetrator, but at the same time, that's not, he hasn't really done anything. So it is all projection. It's all week one excitement. I am wary, but I would like to see it.
And I'm saying this, and I'm very excited for the, in some capacity for the guy from the Seahawks. Like, he did get 9 sacks 2 years ago. He very much fits the hit-C philosophy almost like to a fault, where he's running onto the field after an interception when he's not actually subbed into the play. But, you know, I digress. He very well might end up being your second best pass rusher this year if things go a certain kind of way. But I'm saying all this also thinking that this could be a top 7 unit in the league in terms of overall defense because of how good that secondary is.
Yeah, don't get us wrong. I mean, we're excited for this team. We think this defense is good. We think this offense is good. We think Caleb can be very good. But there are definitely – there's an air of we have arrived in some circles and some talks, and there are reasons to say, like, hey, let's
– and wait, I think this let's see what happens. And I think the scariest part of that, Mason, is the two biggest weaknesses that you and I now both have mentioned, the two lines. And at the end of the day, a lot of times your magical scheme, your magical players don't matter if you can't generate pressure or protect your guys from getting hit in the face.
Yep.
Like, there is no magic scheme to stop you when your trenches suck. Like, I will always believe that, even if there is evidence now compiling that specifically with weapons being invested as for your quarterback is a more fail-safe way with the way the league is now structured.
Well, I think we can even take that one step further, though, and we'd say, well, the teams that maybe have had some weak offensive lines, what have they had besides just weapons, is they've had very, very good offensive play callers. You talk about your Andy Reid's of the world. Mm-hmm. You talk about your Sean McVay's of the world. Their offense wasn't terrible. You talk about Shanahan. I mean, you have McGlinchey out there at right tackle. I mean, and you're still doing fine. Those guys are able to scheme up ways that you can maybe hide some of that. And I like what Waldron is. I think he is an adult in the room, way more than Getsy ever was. But at the same time, I do think there's a ceiling to what Waldron will give you. I don't think there's enough there's a lot of creativity in what he necessarily does from what I saw in the Seahawks. So that's an issue.
Yeah, I'm interested to see because I think Waldron's going to adapt and really kind of run what suits his personnel. But I think he's kind of limited. And it sounds so bad to say that, but it's like, how would I phrase this? If I went and saw Led Zeppelin in concert, I would not want to hear new songs from Led Zeppelin. I want you to play the hits, right? Waldron plays the hits. He knows what's going to work, and he's going to use it for his personnel. But I don't think he's necessarily going to elevate so much as use what's given to him.
Right. There were other offensive coordinator candidates that the Bears could have gone with that would have fallen more into the innovation, elevation thought process. Like Zach Robinson, who ultimately went to the Falcons.
Yeah, let me also say this: I don't think it's a bad thing to just play the hits, as it were, to continue the analogy, and just do it. Like that's what Shanahan does. That's what Shane Steichen does. where Stane again almost was like Coach Boone in Remember the Titans. I run, what is it, six plays, split Nova game, give it time, it always works. Like, Steichen just literally uses the same stuff, just dresses it up differently over and over and over again. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just sometimes it doesn't feel super creative or innovative.
What was your, well, ain't this humorous, something quirky or funny about the matchup, about the Bears construction, the Titans construction, anything like that going into this game?
The thing that I found humorous was, I already kind of touched on it earlier. But I saw Brendan Shagrew actually tweeted out where it was like 2 point something.
I had it in my notes because I was going to mention that later. That the amount of separation between both DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley, when you combine them together, was 2.4, I believe.
2.4 yards. Yeah, it was like 2.4, 2.7. It wasn't very much. And you're going up against this secondary with Tyreek Stevenson, who's ascending, Kyler Gordon, who I think really at the back end of last year kind of had his coming out party, his arrival on the scene, where it's like, this dude's an ass kicker. Like, and Jalen Johnson was quite arguably the best corner in football last year in terms of outside corners. So seeing the older older not separating receivers come up against this young dynamic secondary that is truly feeling themselves. If you watched any of Hard Knocks, it's going to be fun. And I just found it so funny to like see that stat and then realize like that's their first matchup.
2.3 yards officially was the number we averaged those together.
That is ungood.
That's not good. Now, DeAndre Hopkins is DeAndre Hopkins. He's got radius. He was never exactly a burner separator, but like still, come on now. That's just bad. Mine, going back up in my notes here, the buy-in and around Will Levis and the need to build around him, but done semi-poorly is how I'm looking at this. Like, I don't know what Will Levis necessarily showed you or what the team last year showed you that this front office felt, okay, cool, let's go as all in. I'm putting that in air quotes as they are. You know, the Titans aren't bad. We just talked about this. But honestly, and honestly, I think they're a bit of a dark horse team that you may not want to play against at the end of the year. If you fast forward to the end of the year and you look back at a win against this team, you're like, oh man, that was a quality win that you guys pulled off. But I think there are concerns about how they built this. You know, organization of the wide receivers confuse me. Hopkins last year did some of his best work in the slot. Tyler Boyd is as slot only as you can get. Mm-hmm. And Ridley, to me, proved that he's not really a true just X. He's not a go out on the outside and win it, at least in this current iteration and what we saw last year. He was better than I think he ramped up near the end of the year, but I think there are still issues. Chika Conquo is a good idea, but so far that's it. As someone who has plenty of fantasy football stock in him, I wish it was different. You know, he offers nothing as a blocker. You look at Tony Pollard. He never really bounced back from that broken fibula, and it feels to me a little redundant to a Tyjae Spears. We talked about J.C. Latham. Love him. I love him, and he may have been my favorite tackle in that draft. Skoronski, I think, will be better this year. He had that ruptured appendix. That's going to be hard for anyone to come back from.
I think he flashed last year, though.
He had his moments.
Of an ass kicker kind of thing. Like,
so that left side line, I'm fine with in terms of what they've done. Cushenberry, top center. I wanted the Bears to get him. They didn't. I'm great. I'm good with him. You look at the right side of the line, that's where you start to fall. Like, I don't get what they're doing there. Dylan Raddins is like, eh. And Petit Frere seems untenable. Petit Frere graded out as a 35.5 last year, according to PFF.
Petit Frere also flies in the face of Bill Callahan, who wants these mauling.
Yeah.
Like, Petit Frere is enormous, but he's kind of like gentle giant.
He's a hippo in ballet slippers.
Yeah, a dancing bear.
But who just doesn't do it well. Yeah. And so that's an issue for me. And then you flip it over to, you look at the trade for Ernest Jones. I really like Ernest Jones, and I think he's going to do well for Tennessee. You trade for Legarius Sneed. Corner play is so volatile that, and there's a concern for his knee. I think, again, he'll be good, but
The Legarius Sneed thing might have also been an attitude because of how he plays. But that's, you know, then you're getting into semantics of why you would trade for that kind of thing. Right. But
then, like, know. he's not old, but, like, he's not also a young, plucky corner either. You combine that with a Woozie, who's fine, but at 29 years old, he's inching closer to a possible drop-off. Like,
I can't believe a Woozie is only 29, honestly. It feels like he's been in the league forever.
And he opened last season as a starting cornerback for the Bengals, but then he ended up not finishing and lost the job to DJ Turner. You know, he herniated disc, which landed him into 73.7% of the defensive snaps last year. And if you look at the Titans, I get it. They ranked 30th in defensive production rating against the pass and 27th in opposing pass rating last season. You had to make that better. But for me, it just seems like it's a lot of all-in-ishness, but not like good all-in-ishness. Like, I don't get it.
It feels like they pushed their chips to the middle, but didn't have a lot of chips.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, another team going to get L'Jarius Sneed makes sense to me. Another team, you know, setting up this offensive line the way you do, are needing a Calvin Ridley signing. Like, Calvin Ridley to another team, again, that makes sense to me. Tyler Boyd would be a great slot receiver for someone, but you just saw how good DeAndre Hopkins was out of the slot last year, and you've just basically said, no, we're not going to do that. I don't get it.
And I actually don't think, kind of circling back to Pollard, I don't think he's going to hold on to that job.
No, I think Spears is going to take it. And again, I think Pollard's
going to take that job. Yeah. It isn't, like, on top of the fibula, didn't Pollard rip his knee up a couple years ago?
I'd have to double check, but I'm not sure.
Like, I'll double check right now. But I'm almost certain he tore his knee up. Like, I thought he tore his ACL, but maybe I'm wrong.
It was just like, we have money and we need to spend it. Let's spend it in weird areas. That's just what it came to me. So I thought maybe the Titans would spend another year just like, kind of like the Bears did, spend another year or so like signing low cost veterans and frustrate the fan base because you're not necessarily going like for a win. But I don't know what the front office saw in the team and Will Levis to make them say, let's do this.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I can't find anything. Maybe I made up the
official. Danny's a liar.
Yep, official Danny's a liar. He did have tightrope procedure in January of 2023.
Yep, that was for the fibula.
Fibula, yep.
All right, that was my Ain't This Humorous. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and dive into some more specifics on this game.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What you need to know about the Tennessee Titans coming to Soldier Field to play the Chicago Bears.
We're the Titans. We're the worst.
If anyone can name that movie, I'll give you major props because that was awesome in my childhood. So what you need to know, with rookie quarterbacks Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Bo Nix named their team's week one starters, the 2024 season is expected to join the 2012 season. Five rookie quarterbacks, 2023 with three quarterbacks, and 2021 season, three quarterbacks, as the only season since 1970 in which at least three rookie quarterbacks started in week one. The Bears-Titans rivalry has been played 13 times, with the Chicago Bears winning six games and the Titans winning seven games. Last game was in 2020, with the Titans winning 24-17. Quarterbacks drafted number one overall are 0-14-1 in first start since 2002. Now, why is that not relevant to this year? Bears, Danny.
I don't know. Why is it not relevant?
Oh, okay. I thought you had that. Because usually a team that's drafting a quarterback number one overall is really, really bad.
Bad. Okay. Yeah. That felt too easy, but I thought there was something more.
No, I have anything special.
I thought I was going to be like treated to something more delightful than just, no, the Bears aren't terrible.
No, very surface level. Just simply, they didn't own that wasn't their pick. It was the Panthers pick. And even them sitting at number nine, like they were, you know, a couple games that they gave away with late defensive collapses when the defense was not doing quite as well. Unfortunate quarterback play in the fourth quarter of a lot of those games. It was not great. I don't expect that to necessarily be the case here. Fun fact, 7.5% of Bears on this roster are former Tennessee Titans. Kevin Byard, Nate Davis, Kari Blasingame, DeMarcus Walker. One quote that Caleb said that I thought was just interesting when preparing for the Titans. We're not hunting ghosts of things they may run or may not run. They've got guys on the other side. Landry, 98, F. Simmons. Snead, Diggs from Seattle. Noon on Sunday, we'll be able to see what they're actually doing. I just thought that was interesting where, you know, they're not trying to guess what the hell that this team's going to do. They're going to play. The Bears are going to try to play their game, and they'll react as necessary.
Sorry, had an intruder.
All good.
Anyway, sorry, I got distracted. Didn't realize my wife was going to come walking in.
We're going to move on to our love it, hate it, rehabilitate it. Again, if you're new to the show, what we do, we're going to look at something, a matchup, a specific dynamic that we love for the Bears, one that we hate for the Bears, and one that if we were the coach, we were a front office person, we would have focus on fixing going into this week. Danny, what do you love?
Love, I think we've already kind of discussed it. It's the secondary against those wide receivers. It's an awesome matchup. There's really nothing you could want more. Older, slowing down receivers, whether you like, no matter which one you pick, Boyd, Hopkins, or Ridley. People forget Ridley was like a 24-year-old rookie when he came out.
I forgot about that.
And then you factor in he was gone for like almost two calendar years due to injury and suspension. And all of a sudden he's up on 30. Like, it's impossible to not be somewhat excited about that one. So I guess I think we're in agreement on the love it.
Yeah. The other thing I would add to that is one of the issues with Will Levis was the fact that he was just willing to stand in the pocket last year and just get absolutely blasted playing over and over and over again, which is one of the reasons why that they tried to revamp the line. But I think that also plays into the Bears' favor because he's willing to stand in there, try to be a big game hunter. And so I think you do see a couple turnovers here and there. He just might hang some balls up there for you.
Yeah. And yes, someone asked, is Treylon Burks still there? Yeah, he's not any good, though. Who cares?
Yeah, it's just, unfortunately, it is what it is. I mean, I wish it was. They also have Nick Westbrook, in nine, if you want to throw his name out there.
Ooh.
If it makes you feel good about it. But yeah, they're just not very good. I hate Ernest Jones versus the Bears interior offensive line. I wish this trade hadn't happened. Jones is a very good blitzer. It was something we saw consistently during his time with the Rams. Jones rushed the quarterback 29 times on just 440 snaps in 2021, which is a far higher rate than his 26 pass rush snaps on 723 total plays in 2022. Last year, he upped that to 133 pass rush snaps and five sacks. In 2023, Jones started all 15 games he played in and recorded 145 tackles, which ranked 11th in the league. I believe that they're going to use him in that way, blitzing, trying to put pressure on your, again, I'm trying to be nice about this, just below average center and your guards who I think Tevin Jenkins can be a top 10, if not top 5 guard in this league. But I don't trust Nate Davis, like, at all.
Yeah, I can see that. I already kind of spoke about it, but the left side of the Titans offensive line and specifically from Cushenberry on left to Skronsky to Latham versus Billings and Pickens if he plays, and Walker. And if they decide they just want to make that like the strong side of their running game and just move them around, I have a feeling they could do it if they want to, because those are just big, powerful men who have no problem getting in your business and trying to move the furniture, as it will, for whether it be, obviously Pollard's the guy they paid, so they're going to try to give him first go at it. But I think that I just don't like that matchup. And I know it's only one section of the line, but those are big, strong, athletic men moving people around.
Yeah, that could definitely be a problematic. Rehabilitate. What did you would you fix? Again, this is week one, so not really, I don't know, fix isn't right the word. What would you be looking at to try to make sure it wasn't an issue maybe going into this next
week? So it's kind of nitpicky, and I not nitpicky, but kind of stupid because the play caller is different offensively than he was last year. But last year, the running backs were a tell as to what you were going to do.
Yeah, agree.
And I want it to be where if they're, whether it's Roshan or Velus or DeAndre Swift or whoever, to if they're in the game, I don't want it to just be a dead tell of what's going to happen on that play. Mix it up. Like DeAndre Swift being in the backfield, yeah, he's probably going to get, I would guess, roughly 65 to 70% of the snaps, and then the rest is going to be divvied up amongst the other three. But I don't want it that feeling of just like, oh, well, Homer's in the game. You know he's going out for a pass or blocking. Like, it's just such a – it's such a dead giveaway. And I guess the other one I would have picked from was, again, the defensive play calling. Eberflus last year when he took over play calling got really creative pre-Sweat, and then he got comfortable with Sweat, and it got more vanilla and more vanilla and more vanilla. And I'm hoping maybe with the addition of Washington that you're going to see a lot more stunts and stuff like that. It's play call related because we really don't have much to go off of in terms of on-field stuff at this moment in time.
Right. All right, I'm going to hurt some feelings right now. People are going to get upset. There's going to be comments on this.
Why do you hate things?
There is not much to go off of since it's week one, but I do need to see more from Keenan Allen because he needs to be a safety blanket for Caleb. I know it was just preseason, but there's a disparity between, you know, highlights that we saw on like Hard Knocks and various social media and what we saw on tape. He looked slow on tape. Now, is that the veteran who's doesn't normally play in the preseason being like, why the hell am I out here? Or is that a problem? I don't know. I'm just going off of what we have to look at. That's all we have. And the limited snaps that we saw from him in this preseason, he looked slow.
Great. It wasn't great. No.
And that's a problem. So I'm hoping that was just like, you know, wake me up in week one. But as of right now, he needs to be better.
I mean, I agree, but isn't part of it like it's got to be the wake me up when it matters kind of thing. The guy's old. He was a 4.7 athlete coming out of Cal. Like it's not like he was ever a speed merchant who just like got hurt and lost his explosiveness. The guy's a football player, not an athlete. Like, it sounds so stupid to say that. He's a football player, not an athlete. Well, dummy, football players are athletes. Like, yes, they are, but you know what I'm saying. Like, he is meant to play football.
There are certain, like, once Hollywood Brown loses a step, he's done in the league. You're not playing anymore. Like, he's a athlete that happens to play football versus a football player who might also happen to have whatever spectrum of athleticism. Mm-hmm. All right, next, we're going to move on to our X factors, which I need to edit because apparently I didn't change this word. Good production. All right, X factor for the Titans. Mine, keep Will Levis clean. I alluded to that earlier. He was pressured on 28% of his dropbacks last year, 82 pressures, 46 QB hits in only 9 games. When he has the chance to throw, he does okay. I mean, he had 7.1 air yards per completion last year. For comparison, CJ Stroud was at 7.4. So, again, big game Hunter who pushes the ball downfield, but he just got beat the hell up last year. Little bonus one. I think Tavondre Sweat could be really interesting in this game. Just a massive athletic for his size human being that could potentially cause problems at the little bit of a pass rush, but mainly in terms of disrupting runs and things of that nature.
I'm a big Tavondre Sweat guy.
That's what, I figured you would like that one.
The film was fun for what he is, and then you get the, how fast are you, Tavondre? I'm 4.4, man. Yeah, buddy. Yeah, you are. X-Factor for the Titans for me is in the same vein, but it's Will Levis. If you can't generate pressure on him, I think he could make your life kind of hard because he does just have – I think I've alluded to this before on the show. I would love to put like the brain of Will Levis into someone like Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence.
Oh my God. Yes.
Like just just get a little bit of fuck it to you. Like, Will Levis is just completely, he's drunk behind the wheel. He doesn't care. He's ripping this thing all over the yard. But I think Will Levis could hurt you if you don't put him on the ground. And you said it's the protection. It's kind of the yin and the yang. Mm-hmm. If you protect him, will he hurt you? If you don't hit him, will he hurt you? Like,
I don't know how the schedule works out, but we can have this whole conversation when it's time for the Bears to play the Jaguars. But I had this whole argument on Twitter with someone else like a couple weeks ago, where like I said, Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback. Justin Herbert is a good quarterback. They don't have that stank in them, and I just wish they had Josh Allen stank.
I got a hot take for you. I would still take Trevor over CJ.
That's insane.
That's moment, nuts. I would still take that. Sure, that's fine.
Why? Okay, we could talk about that next week. We could talk about that either in the Texans week or the Jaguars week. Wild that you're saying that.
It is scorching hot in here. I tell you.
X factor for the Bears. What is your X factor?
Honestly, I'm going to try to veer off of because last year it was always Justin and it was always going to be Justin. Just like this year, you're always going to be able to default to Caleb. It's always going to be Caleb.
Yeah.
To me, I think it's going to be Montez Sweat and that Sweat effect. Is he able to be the game breaker we saw him be able to be at times last year? Is he going to be able to elevate a ragtag bunch of nothing really next to him aside from Andrew Billings? Like, I want the world for Gervon Dexter. Nobody wants him to be better more than me. I have some serious reservations because the I mentioned the alarm bells earlier when certain things happen. When I start getting the best shape of his life, how much his body has changed, this, that, the other, going into year two of a guy who wasn't very good as a rookie, it's like, oh, these are puff pieces. This guy might not be any good. And it's just like, it could just be a absolute scarred Chicago sports fan, because anytime we get that story, that guy sucks.
Yeah.
And I can't get rid of it. But, you know, I mentioned Latham not being cut from a different cloth as far as humans go. Dexter is the same way. He's built and made differently than other humans. And then again, so is Montez Sweat. I mean, did you happen to see, I think it was episode 4 or 5 of Hard Knocks, Mason, where Montez was standing next to Austin Booker? And yeah. Booker is not a tiny man. Like, that's a pretty big person.
Montez still managed, right, to make him.
It's like, Montez is enormous. It's like, you don't appreciate how large some of these people are. And then you think about how well they're moving at those sizes. And then you see that.
It makes you laugh when you look at high school players and like some college, and you're like, bro, do you like understand what people in the NFL look like? And it's like, chase your dream, do it, right? Like, shoot for that star. But like, when you see the person who's like, I'm going to make it to the NFL, it's like, not playing defensive end, you ain't, or not playing linebacker, you ain't.
So we kind of had this chat in our little group text, Mason, and I'm not sure if you even caught it, but it was like, we said something along the lines of, you can go to any local bar, any local whatever, and watch these games. You'll hear someone, typically in their older age, say, oh, I could have done that, I could have done this. Go to any open gym and find in 5v5 a guy who played NAIA basketball or Division II or Division III. Now, I'm not even saying Division I, which is the best kids. Like, I'm saying Division III NAIA. These kids probably didn't even have scholarships. They just wanted to play. And realize how ungood you are and how not talented you are as an athlete. Because there is levels to this.
My X factor for the Bears is a red zone conversion. The Bears had a 50% red zone conversion for touchdowns last season, which wasn't terrible. It was 16th in the NFL.
I was gonna say, it sounds like middle of the road. Literally.
Totally, right. It's crazy how that works out. If you're going to truly take another step right? If you're going to try to be a wild card playoff team, if you're going to try to go and finally beat the Packers, split it and go 1-1, even something as simple as that, you need to convert higher than 50%. And you have to field goals have to be touchdowns, and, losing the ball outside at the 40-yard line, whether it's a weird punt or whatever the case might be, you can't be doing that. You got to get into the red zone and you got to convert if you're going to actually take this next step.
And that's where one Cole Kmet could be reigning enormous.
You mean top 10 fantasy tight end Cole Kmet? Well, not anymore. I mean, now his stock's plummeted. But
well, yeah, because he's the fifth one option.
I'd say fifth.
Fifth, because I would put Sweat ahead of him even in the passing game. Or not Sweat, sorry. Swift. Too many SWs.
I would agree with that. And it's unfortunate for a couple of my dynasty leagues. Over-unders. All right, so I threw together some over-unders. Danny's going to roll through these. Always one of my favorite parts.
Annual make Dan feel stupid segment. All right, here we go.
I really need a producer to go back and keep track of how accurate some of these are, because I think it'd be really funny to see.
How awful they are.
Yeah. Over-under, Caleb Williams. This is more of a joke one, but 128 passing yards.
That's so funny. That's shitty. It's over.
That was what Mitch Trubisky threw in his debut as a starter. We're not going to mention Justin's Cleveland debut. That's just not worth it. The real one is over-under 242.5 passing
yards. That's I actually saw. That's on Caesars, right? So... Yeah. 242 and a half. I'll say over, but only slightly. Okay. I think they're gonna, especially if I think they're gonna let him kind of throw it and sling it and kind of show it off a little bit, especially because I don't think that, well, I said they're frisky. I don't think they're particularly good. They're gonna try really hard, but I don't know that they're particularly talented or good.
Yeah. I could definitely see this being a game where it gets away from the Titans a little bit. And because I think Caleb will, as we saw, he'll throw downfield. He'll throw across the middle. He'll throw outside. He will hunt. And not to rest in peace, Justin, kind of a way, but he will hunt better, I guess. I don't know how to put
it. He does things for anyone who plays high school, who might be listening or coaches high school, you can't, that's just not the way he plays the position. You just can't coach it. He's just got body mechanics and stuff that it's obviously you got to work on them, but he's built a specific way to be able to do what he does.
Here's an example. How many slants did we see Justin throw in his career?
Not many.
And preseason, we saw one third down, needed it. Caleb had a pretty damn good ball to DJ Moore. It was really good coverage. DJ didn't have the best route in my opinion, but you saw that. He's willing to do quick passes. He's willing to throw across the middle. It's just different.
Yeah.
Over under Will Levis passing touchdowns 1.5.
God, it's just not a fun number. I'll say under because I think the defense is going to be really good this year, and I think it's just going to be very, very. And I also think they're going to, for as much as they're going to say they're going to let him sling it, I think they're going to hang their hat on the run game again.
I think you have, you talked about that line, the left side in particular. I mean, just let them run over people. I mean, that's.
And you have two NFL running backs between Pollard and Tajay Spears. Why wouldn't you just mitigate risk almost? It's a coward's way out. It's a very defensive game plan. But I don't know that Callahan's going to want to go out there and immediately start letting the kid sling the rock, especially if no one's quote unquote open.
That is tough. Also, I think it's funny. I have a theory that one of the issues Will Levis has is he's too strong to play quarterback. He's literally too built in a way where he doesn't have the whippy arm angle. Caleb Williams, it's just so robotic and almost kind of Anthony Richardson in the way where he just wants to put a hole in the person he's throwing it to.
Yeah, he lacks arm fungibility and flexibility. It's it's just, he's tightly wound. He looks like a big safety or small linebacker. That's what he looks like.
And that's why he's now sponsored by Noble. And that's why he puts mayo in his coffee.
That'll be future IAFF competitor Will Levis when his NFL career is done.
I can see that. Over under Bears interceptions, 1.5.
Under. I think he's going to throw it around. He might get away with some stuff where, like, falls harmlessly to the ground on a ball that should have been picked off, but I think it'll inevitably be under. And I don't think Caleb's reckless. I think he's calculated, but I think he does have some, hey, watch this to him, and I think that was
completely... You literally heard him say that in Hard Knocks, right?
Like, that was pretty cool, huh? Did you see how cool that was? That was cool, huh? Like, but I think he's calculated with it. And right now, he's still so young in his career. He's kind of like in the feeling out phase of what he can do. Like, he's not like Josh Allen has always just had, screw it, I'm going to do what I want. But yeah, I don't know that he's going to be that.
Sacks for the Titans. I put this at 2.5.
I think over. I think they're going to get to him.
I just think he's going to want to hold. He needs to learn what he can get away with still. And I think, you know, early on, we're going to see some of that where he says, oh, I really thought I had an extra half second and you get the sack kind of thing.
Yeah. And he is, that's just something in his game. He's going to hold the ball. A lot of times a Tiger just will not change its stripes.
And you have to be okay, you know, because then you have to be okay with that when you have the really amazing plays, like we saw a couple in the preseason, because he held and moved from third to fourth back to first read. You're going to have the bad version of that too. You can't have one without the other.
Mm-hmm. Especially in a first start.
Yes. Yes, yes. This is a pick 'em. Who's going to lead the Bears in receiving yards between Moore, Allen, Adunze, Komet?
I'm going to go with the easy answer. I think that he's going to, you know, when shit hits the fan, so to speak, where's DJ? Like, that's what I think he's gonna do, and rightfully so. He's here for six more years. He's clearly your best receiver. I think he's probably one of the top, depending on where you put him, 8 to 12 receivers in football, depending on how you view him. Like, he's just really good. Like,
yeah.
And it's in a rookie quarterback's best friend, aside from a run game, is where's the safety net? Like, and I think DJ is going to be, when it's all said and done, like the guy he looks for when it's time to get bailed out.
Last one. This is more of an NFC North view. Another pick 'em. EPA per play amongst QBs in the NFC North. Who will lead?
I know what you want me to say.
I just think that there's two you I would be picking between is my...
I'm picking Jared Goff.
That's not the two I was going to pick between.
I was going to pick... Because I think that you're talking the Lions have a chance to be best offense in the league kind of territory.
Yeah.
And I think Goff's going to be really good. And this is even with me saying at the end of the day, when you pressure Jared Goff, he's still Jared Goff. He's much better than the version that we remember Vic Fangio breaking in LA, but he still doesn't like being pressured. He still doesn't play particularly well when he's outside. I think he is going to be of the NFC North quarterbacks, the best in EPA per dropback this year. I think I'll even give you an order. I think in order, it's going to be Goff, Love, Williams, and then Darnold.
I would have gone Love first. I think for me, I know it's an efficiency measure, so maybe this doesn't even make sense, but because there is an opportunity to lean more so on the run in Detroit, there's more room for error with what Goff can do. And I also think that Love will take more chances creating larger explosive plays.
So this is where I think our disagreement might be. I think Love was very lucky in some capacities last year.
He lucked out some of those 50-50s like crazy.
I think I've made the comparison on the show before. The year Derek Carr first got to the playoffs before he broke his leg in said playoffs, and we got to see Connor Cook get lit up.
Yes.
There was that year, and again, I'm not saying Jordan Love is Derek Carr. I think he's going to be better than Derek Carr was. And Derek Carr was a damn good quarterback for a stretch there. Like, but I think there's a lot of puck luck that was involved. And all those 50-50 balls, will eventually come back to, well, it's going to regress to the mean. You're not going to win every 50-50 ball,
yeah,
especially not with that receiving group. I think the Packers are a group where the sum of the parts is better than the actual talent, where they have, you know, Jaden Reed and Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. They have a lot of good.
Dare you not mention Dontavian Wicks, who we both wanted the Bears to draft.
Yeah, I was actually talking about this with a friend. If there's a mid to late round wide receiver that I have a huge crush on, chances are he's on the Packers between Dontavian Wicks, Romeo Doubs, Bo Melton. Samori Toure is now on the Bears practice squad, but I really liked him coming out of Nebraska as like a late round flyer. Like, just why not? He's kind of fun. like, and it's like, will you stop taking the late round guys I like?
Yeah, sir. Not as hot as your crazy hot take from earlier. I think at the end of the year, we're saying Dontavian Wicks is wide receiver one in Green Bay.
Oh, yeah, I mean, could be. I don't think that he's fighting against all, but I also don't think much of Jalen or of Christian Watson.
Christian Watson, bleh. Romeo Doubs has hurt too much and also has.
See, that'd be my argument, just cause, but I'm also a Doubs like guy. Like, that was my dude coming out of Nevada.
I think Jaden Reed would be the closest one I would say would to fight for me. Like, the TB, the one I would say maybe.
Yep.
All right, moving on. This is our now Kombucha-sponsored section, Bear Gut Check Game Predictions. Remember, use code Bear Gut Check, BearGutCheck at Kombucha in order to get 15% off. This is where we're going to pick games against the line. We use our gut feelings, revitalized by Kombucha, of course, to give you these predictions. Start off, Titans at Bears. Bears are favored by 3.5. It's cool that the Bears are favored in games again.
Bears cover and win.
I would agree with that. I think it'll be scrappy in the first half. It's like, ooh, why is it so close? And then all of a sudden, things will open.
I think the defense is going to come alive, which is what's going to trigger it.
Oh, I'm so excited for the celebrations. Oh,
so man. Can I just run this by you before we get to the rest one? Mm-hmm. We all laughed and kind of poked fun at the hits thing. You know what's hit?
You and I were a pro hits thing. I want people to know that.
Yeah, I want people to understand that too. Like, we were the people like, yeah, it's easy to fun and laugh until you're in these locker rooms. And it's like, these people, this specific brand of human being buys this stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's what they've been around their whole life. Like, but you watch the preseason. I'm not even talking Hard Knocks stuff, but just from starter through fifth string to guys who are now on the you know, the street looking for calls. That philosophy is fully there. These guys are all rallying. Everyone's getting to the ball. It is so much fun to watch. And I fully endorse that turnovers are not a game plan. But you can make likelihood of turnovers higher with this kind of thing they're doing right here. They're going to be so fast and it's going to be so fun to just watch, like, the whole, especially the back seven, just collapse in on you the second you have the ball.
How many plays did we see last year where either it was a fumble recovery or an interception where the person making the initial play wasn't the one who got the ball, right? They popped the ball in the air, and then because of the swarming thought process, someone else ended up getting the pick or the fumble recovery and then going from there.
Yeah, like, and it, maybe it's just a warm, comfy, cozy place for me because the Lovie Smith era is the best era I've ever experienced as a Bears fan. But that's what it's not the same thing. The defense was way better under Lovie. The rules were different. You could get away with more defensively. But just like seeing it, it hits me in a certain kind of way, and it's like it's reminiscent of what I remember. And I think it's going to be really fun again.
And don't get it twisted. We're not saying, hey, we're going back to, like, you know, 2018 defense, but it's going to be a fun rally around kind of a defense that
it's going to be way different. That's just such a different style too.
That is the one negative I'll throw out there. I still don't like the core style of the defense itself. I just wish you took the hits and applied it to a more modern defense.
So yeah, and I'll be the first one to say, I would much rather this be like Greg Williams calling plays. I love aggressive, like, hit you in the mouth defenses in terms of we're bringing the fight to you versus the Bears are literally just they want you more plays means more opportunities for you to turn the ball over.
Yeah.
They are going to have long drives sustained against them because that's literally part of the concept of the defense. If I give you more chances, you're more likely to turn the ball over. Like, it was one of the things that drove me nuts under Lovie. It's like, I don't understand why these drives are so long. It's like, because they want them to be long.
It's literally part of the game plan. All right. A couple more to pick here, game prediction-wise. Tonight's game, Ravens at Chiefs. Chiefs are favored by 3. Who do you got?
Ravens in an upset.
I have that, too. I had a free bet, an ESPN bet, and I use it on that.
And I actually think – I called it last year with the Lamar, you know, double bird season. I think we might be getting the Pat double bird season this year. He's heard a lot.
He has actual receivers again, and so
– and he's heard a lot of the talk about how he wasn't that great last year and turned it on in the playoffs. You might be in for, like – you might be in for like all-time Yaha time of just this dude is going to light you up.
I just wonder if they come out a little slow for two reasons. One, a little Super Bowl hangover. You tend to see that. But also, two, the Chiefs just yell San Antonio Spurs to me where they know they don't have to like be pedaled to the metal every week because they can just turn it on whenever. And they just, hey, make the playoffs. That's all we need to do. And then let's go from there.
Yep.
Friday night game in Brazil that apparently no player wants to be at. Packers at Eagles Friday, 7:20 p.m. Eagles are favored by 2.
Even though the Packers are my pick to come out of the NFC for the Super Bowl at this moment in time, which pains me to say, I think the Eagles win. I think Sirianni's going to effectively try to empty the magazine, as it were. He's in trouble. That seat is not just warm. It is hot. I don't think he fired those coordinators. I think Howie fired those coordinators.
And then Howie said, here are the people who will be helping you at this point. And then also the report in August about the issues where Sirianni and Hurts can't even be in the same room together.
Well, I could see that. And Jalen's telling you truths in the media.
Yeah.
He's not saying it outright, but he's telling you exactly how he feels.
My call for next, Bill Belichick will be coaching the Eagles next year. That's my random call out.
Bill Belichick will be coaching the Cowboys. Roseman's never hired a defensive head coach.
Hey, this is the year. Okay, maybe. Texans at Colts, because the Bears will be playing the Texans in week 2. Texans are favored by 3.
Can you say the line one more time?
Texans favored by 3.
It's the Colts.
The plucky Colts.
See, I'm not the right person to ask because I love Anthony Richardson and I think Stane Steichen's the man.
Yeah. Steichen did a lot with freaking Gardner Minshew. No offense to Minshew, but come on.
And that running game with Richardson and Jonathan Taylor on new money could be
really I know you're fun. Not a big fan, but I think they have a real number one receiver now in A.D. Mitchell. He's going to eat.
Yeah, you can have it. I'm good.
Okay, when it's week 6, I want
to be proved wrong. Let him prove me wrong.
I want my checks in week 6 when he is.
You know, I'll be the upset guy. Colts win, or no? Colts cover. How about that?
I'll still take the Texans in this. I'm a big Richardson guy as well, and I think the offense will be so different. I could talk about it for an hour about how I think this Colts offense will be different this year with Richardson there. But CJ Stroud is him until proven otherwise. Right now, I'm such a CJ Stroud guy.
Trevor is greater.
Last one, Rams at Lions. Lions are favored by 3.5 for that Sunday night game.
So did you ever play League of Legends or Smite or anything like that?
No, I never got into those.
So I liked those games. There's a role in those games in the duo lane called all damage carry, which is I'm going to just hurt you with offense. I have no defense, and I just am going to score points.
That is the Rams.
That's the Rams. The Rams are the all damage carry of the NFL. Aaron Donald's gone. I think Kobe Turner could be really good.
Yeah.
And I really liked Kobe coming out of Wake Forest last year. But you actively went and traded your best linebacker for next to nothing to the Titans for some strange goddamn reason. I don't know why. Like, it has to be this. We just didn't want to pay him, right? Like, that's got to be it.
Yeah.
Like, but you didn't even get anything for him.
No, you got nothing.
Like, anyway.
You know, and then you're trying to replace Donald with Jared Verse and Fisk, both rookies, both good story, same team, but at the same time, like, that's not Aaron Donald. Yeah.
I think the Lions win, but I think it's going to be close, but they'll cover. Like, I was just talking through it, and I just – like, I think the most fun bet this year would be any Rams game, just bet the over.
Yeah, yeah. Just
bet overs for the Rams.
I know you said you picked the Packers to come out NFC North. I'm picking the Lions to come out of the NFC North, and I also think they have a chance.
So what – I think the Lions win the division. Oh. I think the Packers get to the Super Bowl.
Gotcha. So I have the Lions winning the division and making the Super Bowl. I have Houston Lions as my Super Bowl.
Dan Campbell bit the kneecaps off all the way to the top. I just
think what the Lions have, the mentality that they're coming in with – and there's a whole – again, this is a whole other thing. We can talk about this Lions week. But I'm just picking the Lions in this. But it's going to be a damn shootout. The Lions also just have an actual defense, so that's helpful.
Yeah.
All right, rapid fire with these last couple categories. A cock six and bull story, so just something, a bold prediction. What do you have?
DeAndre Swift, 2 touchdowns, 1 through the air, 1 on the ground.
Oh, not too shabby. Mine's going to be a pair of interceptions by each of the starting corners. You got Jalen Johnson, who is allergic to interceptions, but starts to find it this year more.
You said a pair of interceptions by each?
Yeah, one by Jalen Johnson and one by...
I was like, you're predicting 4 interceptions?
4 interceptions in the opening week. A pair split between the two.
Gotcha.
Offensive player of the game.
Well, let's continue with it. If I'm predicting DeAndre Swift to do the 2 touchdowns, I'll say DeAndre Swift comes out and has a hell of a Bears debut. We'll say, I'll even call a shot, 150 combined yards to the ground in the air.
I'll go with DJ Moore for the reasons you said earlier. He's just the dude in this offense. He'll be the safety blanket. When in doubt, throw it to DJ. And we saw that even last year. I mean, DJ was the only functional receiver who actually was worth having in fantasy, et cetera, et cetera.
And he's literally a receiver you can build an offense through.
Yeah.
Not just around. You can build an offense through him because of the things he can do and the special athletic ability he has.
Defensive player of the game. Who do you got?
I mean, if it's going to be anyone, it's got to be Montez, right?
So I know I just said that I was going to give the two starting corners interceptions. I'm actually saying Kyler Gordon.
Yeah, my second choice is going to be Kyler because I think that he's going to be – you. And similar to the way that guys like Woodson were used in yesteryear, Hamilton's being used in Baltimore, they're going to blitz him a lot. They're going to use him in a variety of different ways.
What is that role in the Georgia offense called? The star role?
The star back.
Yeah. I just think he's star backy. You know, just do all the things.
Just do stuff. And thank God they made him a primary inside corner. Like the outside inside trying to teach him rookie year was just.
That was bad.
Oh my God, it was miserable because it's like it's such a hard position to learn on its own. You're making him learn now 2 separate hard positions. Don't do that.
He's got the body of an outside guy who is just insanely athletic and ridiculous movement skills. Just let him be athletic.
Yeah, let him be a special athlete.
And then last one, King of the North, aka MVP. We're going to put a rule on this here. We can never pick Caleb. No, that's not true. You can pick Caleb one time in the season. So be careful when you use it.
Okay. I'll go out of the box here. We'll go with Kyler. I gave the defensive player of the game to, because you can't give things to both, right? But rules of the MVP, you can't be the AP offensive player of the year. Let's go with Kyler. Kyler's gonna have like a forced fumble, a sack, handful of tackles. You're going to feel like he's everywhere. In my heart, I wanted to say Jaquan, but I just couldn't get to it.
I'll basically do what you did, and I'm going to take the opposite. So I'll take Montez Sweat in this one. Gets a couple sacks. I mean, ends a drive in himself, flips the game a little bit. I think there's going to be more of even a comfort this year being a part of this defense through the entire offseason, everything like that. And there is hope. I know we pooed it a little at the beginning of this, but you have potential options off the other edge, whether it's a DeMarcus Walker and Austin Booker. You're bringing in a Darrell Taylor, a beefy Dominic Robinson, that someone is going to step up. You're just going to say, hey, we're just going to throw bodies at you from the other edge, and hopefully that'll help Montez out.
That's all you can hope for, honestly. And I think you're going to see a lot of 3-technique like packages where Walker is kicked inside, and you'll see like Taylor on the outside with
the de facto nose being Gervon, but it's going to be like their NASCAR package of just here's our pass rushers.
All right. Week one in the books, knock some rust off, getting back into this. I'm excited for this game. Hopefully y'all are too. Danny, any parting thoughts before we end the stream?
No, enjoy the season. My PSA that I did every year, or that I'll do every year, stop actively rooting for tanks. If God forbid they lose week one or something, or they start out slow, don't. Just, it's not good for this team. You have to learn how to win, especially now, because you've got the culture changer of all culture changers at quarterback, like where everything should be different. And you've everybody, and if things do go awry and you don't win, I'll say 7-8 games or more, you're probably firing everyone you're trying again with your coaching staff.
And I think there's a vibe with this team. I mean, I'm someone, as silly as it is, I watch Hard Knocks every year. There are certain teams you watch them. The Lions were a perfect example of this, where you watch that Hard Knocks and you're like, I think there's something here, right? And there are other ones you watch, like I think the Browns were like this when they were on with Baker. And you're like, I don't know if I'm buying this. This just seems forced, and it just seems like there isn't a spark here. When you watch the Bears Hard Knocks, it was closer to what the Lions had, where there's like, there's something here. There's a swagger. There's a competitive fire that's there.
And it's funny you mentioned that, because Campbell's like the ultimate vibes coach, right?
Oh yeah.
It's all vibes.
Vibes and Applebee's.
And Starbucks. Don't forget like the venti coffee with like three espresso shots dropped.
That's
into
a heart
it.
Attack.
Like,
and, yeah.
Dude, do you want to die? But that's like the new, I feel like that's the new trend in the NFL. Like if you can't get the savant offensive play caller, like Bobby Slowick will probably be very sought after this offseason, or, you know, Ben Johnson, in the aforementioned Detroit, you're going to be trying to go find the CEO, like the CEO vibes. Like, can we get the buy-in from the locker room for this guy? Because this dude just commands a locker room.
Just talk about the hat I got with the Jordan-esque logo. I got this from Obvious Shirts. Currently, I think pretty sold out. So Reese V, if you have some in stock and people want to get hats, go for it. But I love Jordan Reese, over at Obvious Shirts.
Reese, if you have them and fitted, please call me. I don't like trucker hats.
I used to do fitted, and I've switched to snapback. I don't know why. I wish this was a flat brim. I will admit, I want a flat brim, but
see,
I didn't have it.
I want fitted and curled brim. Most of my brims are like, probably because I played baseball my whole life, or like this.
You literally like opposite hats. <That's true. laughs> I think for me, it's because my hair changes so much. So like, I cut my hair recently. You don't see it anymore. So yeah, like, any hats I had, if they were fitted, I just can't wear them anymore, and vice versa.
Yeah, I'm losing my hair, so whatever.
All right, that is all. Hopefully, if y'all are going to watch the game tonight, you should, right? I mean, football's back. Ravens, Chiefs, you can't ask for really a better Thursday night matchup. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. I'm excited to see. I think Xavier Worthy's going to be a decent football player, but I can't wait to see him get blown up and certain people be upset.
Couldn't have gone to a more perfect situation. The 155-pound wet blanket just running side to side. Him and Hollywood are an interesting combo because they're fast, but in completely different ways. Yeah, Hollywood is like a total vertical guy. And I feel like Xavier is like better horizontally. So it's a fun combination. And yeah, I can't believe Rashee Rice is playing, but
we're going to get on thing. Rashee Rice should not be playing, but that's a whole thing.
It's a whole different can of worms. We got to go.
All right. Bear down on everyone. Enjoy. Enjoy the season. It should be a good time.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone.
With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.